My sisters and brothers, family of God, may the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Listen now to a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were out of fear, Jesus came and stood in their midst, saying to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. The sins you forgive are forgiven, and the sin you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Thank you for so many of you wearing red today. I'm glad you remembered that we do that kind of as an expression of our celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. You know the reality, it's the close of the Easter season. Pentecost is a season in and of itself, but oddly enough, it's typically called Ordinary Time, which begins tomorrow morning. But ordinary time is the extraordinary time and the extraordinary reality of now living in the Spirit. There's so many ways to preach about this feast today, and probably, really, it's hard to know. How do I inspire you with the grace of the Holy Spirit? Probably the deepest reality is you have to desire it. The Holy Spirit cannot simply be expressed in a liturgical season. It cannot be expressed as a one mass a year. The Holy Spirit is our life in God. It's our life in Christ. I haven't said it quite as distinctly lately, but you know how many times I've said, the Holy Spirit is literally the love of God. Undeniable. Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. And we live in the power of Jesus, in the light of the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here have too much love in their life? Who doesn't have enough? You got all you're going to get. Where is it? How many people want more love in their life? Well, that was very thrilling. No wonder this is so hard. Now, it's a conundrum, isn't it? Because I myself will say, I don't need more love in my life. I need to own and accept and allow the Lord, please, to set free the love and salvation that's already in me, right? That's the reality. You were baptized however long ago. How many times in your life have you received the Holy Eucharist? There's a distinct relationship between the Eucharist and the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that we call down in the Epiclesis, it's called. And the priest puts his hands over the cup. It's a calling down of the Holy Spirit by the power of the Spirit of God, the Divine Spirit, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of Jesus. Simple bread and wine is turned into the body and blood, the person, the life of Jesus. And you consume that. You take that into yourself. I don't know the best analogy, and I hesitate to use a sports one. But it's the one that comes to mind. You know, some of these superstar athletes, and really any athlete that's worth their weight in salt, they work. I don't know how many people, I know a lot of people are following Caitlin Clark, a basketball superstar from Iowa who now plays for Indiana Fever. They haven't won a game yet. But amazing the way that woman shoots 40, 50 feet from the basket. And most of the time they go in. Do you realize the hours, the hard work she's put into that since she was, well, not as tall as me, since she was this big? I mean, you know, in grade school, she worked. There was a passion. Think of the Tiger Woods of the world, at least when he was younger. And the work that these athletes put in, and they have a passion and a longing and a desire. Have you ever met anybody that has that kind of passion and desire to work, if you will, for the power and the light of Christ? We don't have to work for God because God's already there. We have to be open to God, which is why I begin today. Do you desire the Holy Spirit? Do you want to grow in love? We all want better lives. We want our spouses to love us more. We want our children to behave better, whatever. You know, we want the world to be at peace and all of that. But do we have some skin in the game in terms of how we pray? Are we willing to open ourselves to the light and the life of the Spirit at whatever age and be a person that brings more love into the world? These are the foundations of what it means not only to be a good Christian, it literally is what it means to be a maturing human being. So if you look at my article, you know, I begin with the first letter of John. Beloved, that John, it's an epistle, but John was the gospel writer. How many times did Jesus say, John learned this from Jesus? Beloved, we are beloved of one another because we are commonly one in Christ. But John says, beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. You know God because you love. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. I start with this verse to try to make it pretty basic. I know the Trinity, which we're going to celebrate next week, it's a great mystery. God is a mystery, but don't let the mystery of God be so big and so scary and so far away that you simply forget the fact that he's right here and that you are a loving person. You need and want love in your life. And to have that love, we have to be loving for and with others. And it's a suffering, a suffering and a self-giving. It's inconvenient. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But God in the person of Christ incarnate lived all of that in his own love and compassion for literally everyone he met. So these words from John's epistle are an indispensable expression and gift. It is a gift of God, the Holy Spirit, for we who believe and profess Christ in our lives. It can't just be, well, gasp, oh, it's so great. I just know God loves me. That's only the first step. If you are awakened and you have a confidence or some small degree of surety that God is loving you, you got to do something with that love. It's not just for you. It is for you. It's personal. It's particular. It's specific to you personally. But that love is supposed to flow into you and then flow through you into the life of the world. Again, I begin with these words because they are the truth of who God is and what God does. God is what God does. God loves. The challenge, of course, is that we have to live in the world because, well, this is where we live. But as we heard from the second reading from the Galatians, if we live in the world, Paul uses the word flesh. But here, he doesn't mean flesh only in a sexual morality. Flesh, he means the world. But we pretty much live in the world. But we're called to live and have our identity in the Spirit. So in the ways of the world, as we well know, maybe more evident in our time, but it certainly is evident clearly enough, that if we're going to live by the ways of the world, we're going to be inclined, given all the challenges and tensions and impatience and greed and all those kinds of things in the world, we're going to question and doubt and maybe be inclined even to reject God as love. How many people in the world just live and grab whatever they can for power and control and wealth and surety and security? Sure, a person could be or might be very successful in the world. They might make a lot of money. They might have a big famous name for themselves. They may have a great job, drive a nice car, might have a very handsome husband or wife. But if they're only living that for the sake of the power of the world, that's not going to last, is it? It's not going to ultimately give meaning. And there's a lot of people who live in the illusion of that success, thinking they're happy, but it won't last. Because someday, that's all going to pass away. Nothing against the nice things of the world, right? We have to live here, and God intends us to be happy here and hereafter, to use the things of the world. But our identity is God in Christ. Why? Because love gives life. And love can restore life within and beyond and through the darkest nights of our despair, loss, violence, the lies and confusion that we all experience and see and read about in the paper and sometimes even in our own life. Why? Because love is truth. And it's what makes us human beings. God did not incarnate in any other reality, created reality, other than a human person. We have the Spirit. So consider the reading of the dry bone. I'd love to see this in film, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be fun? So if you give me an extra second or two today, shouldn't take more than 20 minutes. I can still remember years ago, I might have still been a seminarian, and I was at the cathedral, and it was the Easter Vigil. And they got to the reading of the splitting of the Red Sea. And there was an African-American woman, and she was reading that reading, and man, that woman could read. Now, the reading of the biblical stories are not supposed to be theatrical. But do you feel the energy in that reading of the dry bones? Now, sometimes it does have to do with the way it's read. Now, Darren is a very fine reader, and thank you for wearing your red shirt. I'm glad you didn't wear the pink one. Well, she's up there in the Red Sea. And on the right, the wall of the water. And on the left, the wall of the water. And Moses heard from God, strike that rock and go forward. Are you impressed? But you listened. Now that same energy is in this reading. So God called, well, again, there's a lot of power in this reading. The image is the Israelites again. Again, they're carried off into exile in Babylon. They're depressed. They're without hope. They lost their identity, their sense of being one with God or even God's people. They've given up on their faith. They're dead. They're like dry bones. They're suffering in captivity. Now, again, please be mindful. Notice, because Scripture doesn't say this, but it is true. Israel, of course, was first called by God, but they were not exclusively called by God. The reality is, Israel is an image and a metaphor for all nations and all humanity. God didn't choose Israel only to be saved. But they're an image of all God's people, all humanity, because do we not all experience suffering and oppression and sin and the pain and separation of death? We do. We all need the same redemption that God began the Israelites with. It's an image of all people and all humanity. And that's the image and the power of the image of the dry bones. Because without faith and trust and some fidelity of love toward God, are we not lost in an exile of our own making? If we think things of the world are going to make us happy, and there's some things in this world that really make me happy, But if I make that my identity and the foundation that I walk on, I'm going to have a sad and short-lived life. But if my foundation is in Christ, and I enjoy the things that I enjoy in this life, mindful of Christ and mindful of the Spirit, I'm going to have a joy and a peace because it's going to be on the inside. One more cookie or one more beer or one more whatever else isn't going to make me happier, necessarily. But it's going to be the Spirit, right? Notice the words, power, power. And notice that God uses an earthling. God uses another human being. And God commands or leads, tells Ezekiel, go and speak to these dry bones. And Ezekiel's kind of going, what? You know, me? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In other words, return to faith. Listen, God is telling them. And I will revive you, and I will give you new life. Love of the Word of God is clear evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. Without life, without love for God in our lives, do we not fall apart? We feel disjointed, disconnected, out of shape, and unable to move freely with any particular sense of direction? So God persists. And so God tells Ezekiel, call down the Spirit of God from the four winds. Not the power of creation in the wind, but wind is an image of the Holy Spirit, breath. It's a primal energy, which is the energy of God. And then he says, breathe on these slain ones, that they may come to life. Is this Pentecost in the Old Testament? I think it is. And it's what we're celebrating today in the New Covenant. To make it personal, consider a time in your life, maybe now, when you felt dry or anxious or discouraged or without direction. Maybe you feel like you're getting old and you're uncertain. Maybe your head or brain doesn't work like it used to. I know mine doesn't. What can revive you? What might revive you now? Call on the Holy Spirit. Remember who you are in Christ. Because all love inspires. To take a minute with the second reading, I chose the reading. You know, there's a vigil for Pentecost now. We could have 9 readings today. You're welcome. Would you like to do that sometime? We'd be here till at least 11 or 11:30. Our Lady of Sorrows is the one parish I know, and that parish probably has 3,500 families. It's got a big school. He does it every year on the Saturday vigil, does all the readings. I'm afraid if we did it, nobody would come. So I chose this reading from Galatians because it pretty effectively contrasts for us. It's not particularly nice to hear, but these are the realities that are all around us, right? If we're going to live in the world and not in the Spirit, we're going to be with the works of immorality and impurity and lust and idolatry and sorcery and hatred and fury and all the rest. But then, Paul says, in contrast, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Where do you see or feel or perceive those in yourself? And then lastly, the same gospel that we read at Easter. It's for every Sunday. Every Sunday is a little Easter. And although next week the candle will be put in a less prominent place, the baptismal water will no longer be there, although we have a baptism coming up. Is that next weekend? Yes, there's a baptism next week. We might as well leave it there. They're primal expressions of life-giving. Water in the Holy Spirit. So these disciples are behind locked doors out of fear, in the confusion, sadness, lost in hiding, no sense of what, where, when, and how. And then Jesus appears and says, peace be with you. Of course they're going to rejoice, confused as they were. But again, notice the symbols are the same. It goes right back, I say this every time, goes right back to creation. God blew into the nostrils the breath of life. And man, human beings, men and women, became a living being, became spiritual beings. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, receive my Spirit, receive the Spirit of God, receive the divine Spirit. And then God gives you and I divine power. The sins you forgive, they're going to be forgiven. The sins you retain and hang on to, you're going to be stuck with them. Only God can give that power. But you and I have it, and we should use it generously, mindful that what we have been forgiven, now are we then called to love one another. And if there's no free love, is there any such thing as free love? If we're not free in our love, how are we going to know the value of that forgiveness? So after this indwelling of the Spirit, these disciples go forward with great courage and zeal, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. They experience every kind of resistance, scorn, persecution, and martyrdom, but they just keep going because they were so grasped by that Holy Spirit. They did not fear death because they knew that the one who was dead is now alive. We didn't have that experience. I've seen some people come to life beyond depression and abuse and neglect and abandonment and the works of inner healing. People wake up and they realize, well, God is still with me. And they find life all over again. There's power there and you have it. So how is the Spirit evident in your life now? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know how to find the Spirit. Yeah, you do. And it's not hiding in your closet. Look in places in your life where you experience love. People that inspire you. People that encourage you. Look at those places where people give you love. Where you're drawn to love others. Where you feel an active sense of empathy and compassion. Do you feel compassion for those poor people in Israel and more particularly in Palestine and Gaza and their suffering? Do you feel any empathy or compassion for them? That's the Holy Spirit. Pray for them. Put politics aside. They're human beings. You see, in the Free Press, there was a doctor. I don't know if he's Arab or Israel. I don't know what he is. A doctor, he's been over there for a couple of weeks, couldn't get out. He lives right up the street, practically, Bloomfield Hills. But he was over there serving. He couldn't get out because of the danger of war. But he went in and he gave his life, his love, sharing his energy for those who were suffering. What about in your trials? Where do you see the Spirit in this weary and worrisome time? In anxiety that we have about politics and war and the things going on in the world, inflation. You know, that's a product of the greed that happened because of COVID. We're doing these things to ourselves. They're not always political, but they're made political because they're advantage or disadvantage. Look at truth. What's your truth? What's your truth in Christ? What's your truth in the Spirit? Doesn't matter how old you are, or how strong you feel, or how weak you feel. If you're still breathing, you got the Holy Spirit. I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. May the Holy Spirit disturb you, and may you desire it and ask for it. And when God gives it, don't be afraid, because the power of The Spirit is power, and you have it. It's not just for you. Share it with others generously. Thanks be to God.